In this video, we're going to understand what the current situation of the Chinese economy is. So before we start, I want you to have a look at the GDP growth of China. I've taken this data from the National Bureau of Statistics of China, so this data is legitimate. If you look at the GDP growth rate for 2024, as you can see, in the first quarter, it was 5.3%. Then in second quarter, it was 4.7%. And in the third quarter, it was 4.6. The third quarter ended in September 2024. That means from 5.3 to 4.6. That also means this year in 2024, the Chinese economy's performance has been slightly falling, or you can say struggling. But if you compare it from last year's second quarter, where it was 6.3%, from there till now, the performance is not good. So now the main question is, what are the reasons behind this? So the first thing that you have to know is that this year the Chinese government has introduced several measures to boost their economic growth. If I have to pinpoint when exactly they introduced, these measures were mainly implemented in the third quarter, that is from July to September 2024. Now, what are those economic measures? So these are the five areas where the Chinese government has introduced measures. I will explain each one of them. Number one, if you look at the Chinese property sector or housing market, it has been struggling with oversupply issue, meaning there are more unsold houses than demand. This issue has been continuing for more than a decade now. In 2014, there was an aggressive real estate expansion in China. Property developers made more houses in response to high demand because of rapid urbanization. And then in 2020, when COVID happened, China's housing market collapsed. You should read about the story of Evergrande. So to stabilize the housing market, the Chinese government introduced some measures. They reduced the mortgage rates for existing loans. And suppose if you're buying second house, then the down payment for that was also lowered. Simultaneously, the Chinese government also increased funding for building affordable housing projects so that they could attract low to middle income people to buy cheaper and affordable homes. This way, government can collaborate with private property developers to convert their unsold property into affordable housing. The Chinese government even told many property developers not to start any new project. As it is, by building more houses, they have oversaturated the Chinese property market. So these are some measures that were brought by the Chinese government to stabilize the housing market. Let's go to the second point, monetary policy adjustment. Another thing what the Chinese government did was, this time not the Chinese government, the Central Bank of China, which is called the People's Bank of China, PBC. They adjusted the monetary policy. Now what did they do? They reduced the interest rates on loans and deposits so that people can borrow more money. In fact, this method is very common, not just China. Every country's central bank implements it. When interest rates on loans decrease, businesses and individuals pay less in interest. This makes borrowing cheaper and more attractive. Lower interest rates also encourage consumers to borrow money for big things like homes, cars, or education, which stimulates economic activity. Apart from this, the People's Bank of China also lowered the reserve requirement ratio. The reserve requirement ratio, RRR, is the percentage of money that banks are required to keep in reserve with the central bank. Now, if the RRR amount is reduced, banks will be required to hold less money in their reserve. The extra money that banks don't need to keep can now be used to give loans to businesses and individuals. More loans mean more money circulating in the economy, which can stimulate spending, investment, and growth. So this was the monetary policy adjustment China did. Now let's go to the third point, boosting consumer spending. The Chinese government also introduced some programs to boost their consumer spending. The programs include giving incentives or subsidies for buying new home appliances and vehicles in exchange of the old ones. The government also took strict measures against deceptive pricing. What it means is some businesses use sneaky tactics like showing fake discounts, inflating the original price, or hiding extra charges. For example, a store might say 50% off, but the original price was never that high in the first place. So the Chinese government banned such practices to ensure the prices are clear and honest. So personally, this step was really good by the Chinese government. I think it should be done in every country. So these were some efforts that the Chinese government took for stabilizing prices so that consumer trust remains intact. Let's look at the fourth point, infrastructure investment. Now in this point, I want you to understand that the Chinese government, when it comes to infrastructure investment, they have a very specific focus on two main things, building big infrastructure projects and supporting high-tech industries. The Chinese government is putting more money into building things like highways, bridges, railways, airports, and factories. You must have seen many videos on YouTube and Instagram showing massive, big, eye-catching infrastructure project videos. And by the way, those videos, if they keep popping on your screen again and again, that means the Chinese government wants you to see it. So whenever any government spends a lot of money on infrastructure projects, it serves two main things. These projects need a lot of workers, so it helps people get jobs. And then better infrastructure makes it easier for businesses to transport goods and for people to travel, which helps the economy at the ground level to grow. This is something even the Indian government is doing. I also spoke about supporting high-tech industries. It is a well-common knowledge that the Chinese government is investing in advanced technologies like robotics, artificial intelligence, electric vehicles, and semiconductors, that is chips used in electronics. These are industries that are super important because focusing on cutting-edge technology keeps you stay way ahead in the global market. High-tech industries are the future of the economy, and investing in them now ensures long-term success. A good example I want to give you is look at the Chinese automaker BYD, Build Your Dream. It is a copy of Tesla. Elon Musk's open patent policy has made Chinese automaker BYD to gain insight into advanced EV technology and surpassing Tesla in global sales. Now let's look at the last point, capital market reforms. When we say capital market, we are talking about the stock market and bond market. If you look at the Chinese stock market, that is Shanghai Stock Exchange, you can look at the SSE composite, you will notice that from 2015 till now, the market has been in sideways movement. The only growth they have seen is in October 2007 and May 2015. If you remember, I also said the Chinese housing market crisis also began after 2014. So through this 10 years period, there has been a massive decline and loss of confidence among domestic and foreign investors. Now the Chinese government introduced measures to stabilize the market in late 2023 and early 2024. And the most recent measure that was introduced was in late July and early September 2024. That is why many of you must have noticed that despite Modi government coming in power for the third time and followed by the introduction of the Indian budget in June 2024, the Indian stock market was in a decline. That was because the foreign investors were constantly selling their positions in India and they were investing in Chinese stock market. And why everyone started running to Chinese stock market? Because the People's Bank of China launched an 800 billion yuan, approximately $114 billion, fund to support stock market activities. The aim was to protect foreign investors by making the Chinese stock market more stable and lucrative. What People's Bank of China did was, they created this huge fund that would allow big Chinese institutions like insurers, asset managers, and brokers to use this money for buying their own stocks, which is called buyback. When companies buy back their own shares, this reduces the number of shares available in the market. This reduction in the supply of shares can push the price up, especially if there is still demand for them. And as a shareholder, you will sell it at a premium price. So if at all a company buys back its own share, they will have to do so at a premium rate. So stock prices will increase. This is what we get to see in the Shanghai Stock Exchange during October month. And the reverse we get to see in the Indian stock market. So this measure of introducing 800 billion yuan by the Chinese central bank is nothing but a temporary boost in market prices through stock buybacks. The idea is to make foreign investors believe that their stock is undervalued. And currently we are seeing a huge selling in the Shanghai Stock Exchange. Stock buybacks can temporarily boost stock prices, but they don't address the underlying economic issues. If at all the broader economy is struggling, a stock buyback alone might not be enough to turn the market around. Investors are smart, they're also noticing what's happening. They may be more concerned about long-term stability than short-term stock price movements driven by buybacks. So anyhow, I've explained the five areas where the Chinese government has introduced several measures to boost their economic growth. Now, among these five areas, the real estate sector is a critical driver of China's economy. It has direct impact on jobs, investments, and consumer spending. So the housing market of China is slowing their economic growth. That needs to be resolved. And then if you look at the fourth point, infrastructure and high-tech industry investment, these have direct impact with Trump's arrival as the 47th president of the United States. As you know, Trump's America First policy means putting American interest first. That means there will be policies that will be aimed to suppress China's technological growth in areas like semiconductors, artificial intelligence, and telecommunications. I am telling you the background government thinking. China is very much aware of this. Why do you think the Chinese government has been proactive in pushing the Belt and Road Initiative so that to reduce its reliance on the US market? It is the United States who made China today economically stronger. The US demand for low-cost goods encouraged China to expand its manufacturing base, leading to the development of industries such as electronics, textiles, and machinery, which became core sectors of China's economy. United States has allowed Chinese companies access to advanced technologies through trade and partnerships, which helped China develop its own high-tech industries, including telecommunications and artificial intelligence. Today, when the United States realizes that, that's the whole point behind America First policy and the subsequent trade war between United States and China. And then you must be knowing that as of 2021, Chinese firms and investors own about 380,000 acres of US agricultural land. On the other hand, US does not own land in China. So with Trump's arrival, there is a huge possibility that we could get to see trade war 2.0. And if that happens, think of it this way. So China has introduced these economic measures in 2024, while their economy is still struggling. You know the GDP growth rate that you saw? So any kind of government's macroeconomic policy takes a good amount of time to show any significant result. It's like planting a seed, and for it to turn into a sapling and then into a plant and then into a tree takes good amount of time. The same is the case with the Chinese economy. And what if in between, before the seed turns into a sapling or maybe a plant, someone cuts it or reduces its growth? Here I'm referring to Trump's arrival in office on January 28, 2025. It could significantly disrupt China's economic recovery efforts. In that case, the next best alternative is the Indian market. I'll stop this video here. I hope you found this video informative. I'll see you in the next one.